This is an ABC podcast.
When ABC TV's Four Corners program last year aired its story on the dark side of the horse racing industry, I think for many of us it was a shocking insight to an uncomfortable reality. The simple fact is there are too many horses bred for a specialised purpose that spans only a few years in the long life of a thoroughbred or racing horse. Sue Garland runs a foster farm for animals on her small rural property on the Atherton Tableland, specialising in the retraining and rehoming, hopefully, of off-the-track thoroughbreds. But according to Sue, finding a place for animals no longer valued or needed by the racing industry is going to take a change of mindset, not only from the industry, but the wider community.
Some hinges would be nice, and if anybody wants to donate some. Gate hinges are bloody expensive.
Everything to do with horses seems expensive.
Yeah, it's like a bit like boats. If you put that horse word on it, or equine, it seems to double the dollars. Doesn't have to, though. We got second-hand gear, we get donated. It just seems to turn up. If we need something, it seems to turn up. We're very blessed. So you can have a horse on 1 acre. As long as you're prepared to put a bit of food in, an acre's enough. You only need the land for them to run. You don't need the land for them to eat.
How many animals would you say are in your care at the moment?
We've got 20 horses, eight ducks, 5 chooks, 7 pigs. Yeah, I think that's all at the moment. Oh, no, 4 birds and a snake.
There's no animal you won't take.
No. No human we won't deal with either. Get out of her paddock. She doesn't like being in such a small area. She's used to being free rein, don't you, baby?
She's got such short legs.
And she can go. I tell you what, they gallop from up here to the top of that thing and she can keep up with them. But she darts in front of them, so they have to actually jump over her. It's quite hysterical to watch. Rounds them up like a dog.
Is she a Shetland?
No, she's a mini. That's her full height. Yeah, she came in at 9 months old and has been here ever since. Works great with the kids. And she's actually being trained for a therapy horse, so she will be trained to go into homes, hospitals, stuff like that. Keeps very quiet, no bite, no kick, no push. So she'll be very good for that. An old ride-on that was donated. I tell you what, it's worth its weight in gold. It really is. We actually use quite a bit of fuel because I have to run around many farms because we've got the animals spread out to other carers.
Righto, so she's fueled up?
Yep, she's ready to go if she starts. It's very devastating when it doesn't start. So I'll start the feed run very shortly. I'll go up and collect up all the bags, load her up again. So it's down to our feed run.
Thumbs up.
Here we go.
It's tireless physical work, but following Sue Garland around on the ride-on mower as she attends to her horses, it's quite clear that it's a labour of love.
When you walk a horse, they are reliant on you to keep them safe. When you ride a horse, you are reliant on the horse to keep you safe because you're up on their back. You have to trust them. And yet, that's 500 kilos worth of animal that could kill you in a batter of an eyelid. It's got many ways of doing it, and it knows them all, and it chooses not to. That's grace. That is real grace.
Who have we got here?
That's Pop Pop. He's a 35-year-old, now 100 in our years, and he's having a birthday party at the Tinnaburra Waters on Sunday.
Is that right?
Yep, we're taking him. We're going to dress him up and try and scrub some of that dirt out. He's a very dirty boy. Yeah, he's got no chance of staying clean. He likes to roll and he likes to really get in amongst the long grass and the dirt and the grub.
How are you, mate? Hey?
He came in not quite so great. He came in with very little hair left because of the Queensland itch, which is now gone. He came in with a severe case of diarrhea because his gut doesn't work anymore. It doesn't digest properly, so he has to be on a special feed. So he's on porridge and a lot of roughage that has to be broken up very small because he's not got a tooth left in his mouth.
No birthday cake for you, Pop Pop.
Oh, yes, it is. Carrot and apple will be just mighty fine, as long as it's cooked and stewed up. But most of them we rehome, like Archie will be rehomed. He's got to have his gut altered so it's not on a high race feed and he can cope. And his feet have to be sound with no shoes. All ours are barefoot.
How difficult a transition, or how long would that take?
We usually say a year to make sure it sticks. As long as somebody doesn't put them back on grain, they'll keep a clear head and they will be a very sound horse for many, many years. Thoroughbreds do live a long time.
Therein lies the difficulty, because their career as a racehorse is so short compared to their lifespan. What experience have you had with rehoming racing thoroughbreds?
When they look as pretty as Archie does, not quite so hard, they usually go to the show ring. But when they're not quite so pretty, which there are a lot of racehorses, it is more difficult. So Archie, he is very pretty, and he is very willing. He does like to learn something new. So we walk him at the moment. He's not ridden. He's only walked, because he's not at the stage where we want to push him beyond his threshold.
Once a horse like Archie steps away from the racetrack, what's the prospects for them going forward?
They're not great. People have to change their mind about a thoroughbred being difficult to feed. First thing that they say, oh, they're hot-headed and they're hard to feed, hard to keep weight on, bad feet. All that can be corrected. But I find that they are well worth the effort, and it's not long before you can get that track mentality out of their head and they start thinking like a normal horse should think in a domestic lifestyle.
What changes have you noticed in this horse, for example?
He likes being touched now, where he didn't before. He's still not touched when he's eating because he doesn't like it, but he does now come for cuddles, which they don't normally do. He is learning to be a herd member. Yeah, he's getting there.
Sue, there has in the past little while been enormous focus on the very issue of life beyond the racetrack, that some of them aren't rehomed. In fact, a lot of horses go straight to the knackery, and of course the conditions of their disposal are the subject of a quite shocking expose by Four Corners. When you were watching from the sidelines as that unfolded, a national story, how were you feeling, particularly about this debate of how we as a society can do better and how an industry like the thoroughbred racing industry can do better?
It's not about, you know, the breeder being responsible for the horse for the rest of its life. That's just unrealistic. Nobody is responsible for something once it leaves their property. There should be restrictions on breeding. It's the same in the greyhound racing. They just get as many as they can out and hope one is a winner. Archie was a very good racehorse, and he tore a tendon. And that's it for him. Yeah, he can't go back on the track. We've got some here that went down in the barriers. Once they go down in the barriers a couple of times, that's it. They can't go back to the track. So if there are places like ours that understand the transition from racing to civilian life, and we have more activities that only include racehorses or ex-racehorses and thoroughbreds, then we're opening up an industry towards them. So therefore they will become more wanted. Some of them are put down. It's very sad, but some of them aren't safe for rehoming. And we have to keep going with making room for any that need that transition between what they've been through and to a new home.
Here we are 6 months down the track, and what's changed?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We want to see the racing game literally have half an acre per horse, limited breeding, and have to actually donate some money towards groups like ours that can actually understand how to take a racehorse from the racing game to civilian life. That's what we want to see. I think that's the only way we're going to see some change, and it won't happen overnight.
What about the cost? I have to ask
don't
you.
Don't even go there.
I'm talking to you against a backdrop of severe drought, of now bushfires, and it's all creating a crisis point for the amount of fodder that's available across Australia.
Yeah.
You're competing with every other livestock operator in the country that has a mouth to feed.
It is extremely hard to watch these hay trucks go down south to where it's desperately needed, I know, but we're waving them goodbye while we're waiting on a waiting list to get hay in our own backyard. The people who have got grass. This grass is useless to us.
It's green grass behind me?
This beautiful green grass is cow grass. It is not horse grass. Horses cannot eat this. Soteria, they will eat, but it'll give them terrible health conditions. They're better off to eat scrub along the roadside.
Because this strip that you've got along the side of the property here, is this just one area?
That and that. That's all we got left. We're desperately looking for a community farm.
So, practically speaking, how do you keep on keeping on?
We've got a sponsor in Atherton, Adores, an animal welfare group that has a shop in Atherton, and they support several groups. We're lucky enough to be supported by them, and the shortfall comes out of my pocket.
And how deep are those pockets, Sue?
I don't know where the money comes from. I honestly don't. It just, when we need it, it turns up. I'm absolutely blessed by our community and how they support us. And they don't realise that every dollar makes two. It really does go a long way. Our feed bill is at the bare minimum it can be. We only feed lupin, loosened hay, and whatever we want to put with the lupins. It's usually a chaff, or if I put hay through the chaffer, or it'll be a bit of copra and the grass along the side of the road, and that's, they're all fat as mud, but it takes dollars.
Well, I will let you get on with it, Sue Garland. Thanks so much again for having us here at the FNQ Animal Shelter.
My pleasure. I'm glad you came.